You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul. I'm Lisa Berry, and this week, Art and Soul is about the art of better living, as in well-being, self-awareness, emotional balance. And this week, we're joined by two special guests. They call themselves philosopreneurs, Hein Lam and Matthew Hansen. They are co-founders of Chill Pill, basically a philosophy blog in Ann Arbor. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us,
Lisa. So I'm big on choices. Let's start there. How important are choices to the way that you look at the world?
Well, I think choices are big for us and all of the philosophy that we talk about. I think a lot of it is just foundationally thinking that we actually have much more choice and control over our lives than we often think we do, and really owning the things that go well and owning the things that don't go so well. So that's a lot of what we talk about and kind of how to handle those things.
I think I do this segment because I call it about mindfulness, but I want to make it mainstream. Can we make mindfulness something that people are not instantly turned off by?
Sure. I think it's a hard thing because as soon as people hear that, they think of, you know, like Om and all of those types of things, right?
Right.
But I think it's just important. I think we're moving past that now. Like things like meditation are a little bit more open than they have been in years past. So I think we're getting there as a culture. But all of these things, I think the key is understanding how old these ideas are.
Right.
It's not new wave or anything. They've been around for a very long time. So that's part of the message we try to get out there is like, these are sometimes thousands of years old, some of this thought. And it's not this like new wavy, like woo woo thing that it, you know, we kind of treat it as sometimes.
What are some of those thoughts you talk about?
Something we have a concept is the two minds. So this kind of goes back a little bit to kind of making this more mainstream. And in business, and innovation, there's a lot of things called like gamification, and our whole thing is about gamifying life through this concept of two minds. So there's a game mind and a blame mind. So if you have a game mind, you approach life like a video game where it's all about winning or learning. So you go to a game, you play Donkey Kong, you try to jump over a barrel, but you jump too soon and, you know, Mario dies. You get a little upset, but then you try it again. You learn from your mistakes. And you approach life this way, and you're like, okay, like, what can I do in order to win this game? When you have a blame mind, then you blame your circumstances on other things. Like, I'm not smart enough. I'm not attractive enough. I'm not interesting enough. This person has just money, and they're able to do these things. So you are giving away control of your life to these things that you're blaming.
First of all, when you said game, I'm thinking more bingo, but we can go.
Bingo works too.
We can go with Mario. What a great way to boil it down. I'm assuming a game mind is preferred over a blame mind.
Yes, I think you're
right.
Correct.
I win.
Yeah, you won that game, right?
I'm
doing it already.
Learning and winning and moving forward. Okay. How do we get over a blame mind?
I think that's a big struggle. I think that it takes a lot of work to do because that's kind of what society will teach us is like somebody has had a head start or like Hein mentioned, somebody has like an advantage over you. Getting out of the blame mindset and into the game mindset is just the first thing is just accepting that you will fail at times. You can either learn from them or just continue failing in the same way. Like it goes back to that like either win or learn. Like there's really no downside to having that game mind because, you know, like if you jump too soon and you fall down to the pit or whatever it might be, like next time you'll know and you might land on solid ground. And I think that's the kind of where the game mind comes from is if you learn, then you'll ultimately end up winning. It might take longer than you want. You might not do it instantly, but the reward is there. And if learning is your reward and not winning, then I think it can kind of become addictive to think that way.
Don't you have to be open to thinking that way, though? And why aren't people?
Yeah, I think part of it is people are afraid of failing. You know, they're afraid of getting out of their comfort zone, you know, stretching themselves, putting themselves in a position where they're uncomfortable and don't know what they're doing. And for us, like we try to encourage people to get out of their comfort zone at 1%. Like it sounds so small, but it's so significant because this 1% change allows you to take that one step forward and then you get comfortable there and then you take that one step forward again and just kind of slowly moving yourself forward. Because a lot of the times people teach you like just do it, you know, that classic slogan, just do it. But then that's so jarring, that's so different and people don't want to make that change. But when you slowly boil the water, then you know, it's more likely that you change. You look back and go, wow, I moved forward several steps, not realizing I had done it.
You guys speak. You spoke at Zing Train. You talk to people. You have this blog. But are you finding some people are cynical or resistant to your message?
Sure. Like, we get all sorts of responses from all sorts of different messages. And I think people are resistant to it. I think we expected that when we first started. We're like,
well, why would you be resistant to being happy or fulfilled or having fun?
I think it's a lot to do with that failure piece because it's the work that has to go into it. And, you know, nobody taught us about this in school. Like, everybody taught us, like, you need to get a good job and make a certain amount of money and get a title or whatever that might be. Why people are resistant to that? I think it's just we're all resistant to change. Like, inherently, it's hard to get us. Like, we might be feeling pretty good. We're like 60%. There's other 40% of us that knows we're not fulfilled. But we know we might have to take a leap of faith to change jobs or to pick up a book and carve out time to do that instead of watching Netflix. These are all very real struggles that we often usually say we don't have time for, but time is available. Are we going to prioritize this change or not? It's not always going to be easy because anytime you take that risk, there's a chance you might fail. You might do great for 2 days and you might kind of fall off a bit that third day, but can you come back on the fourth day and really make it a habit in your life?
That's why I do this segment of Art and Soul about self-awareness and knowing who you are and what you're meant to do. Is that something you think is very important?
That's very important to us because, you know, we all are going to die at some point in life. It's a very morbid thing to say, but there's nothing more true in life than that. Like, life is going to end. Our thing is we want to help people figure out what their meaning and purpose is in life so then they can live it fully, make the right choices, have a game mind.
I look at life like that from the end backwards. And that sounds kind of stark to just say everyone's going to die, but it's true.
Right,
yeah.
So is that the good way to look at life, to live it backwards and knowing that every day matters?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely true. And it is jarring, but like that's kind of a good thing. Like it is a jarring thing to think about, but we avoid it, right?
Right.
We all know it's there, but we don't want to talk about it. But that jar can sometimes be good. Like that jarring sensation can make you do whatever it is you're trying to achieve. So if you've identified who you really want to be in life and you know kind of what you think your purpose should be, like what have you done today to get closer to that, right? And if you haven't, knowing that there is this definite end that is sort of looming out there, like, and that's why our argument is to do that 1% piece, because it might take 5 minutes, but you're moving in the right direction and you're growing. It might not be the earth-shattering change that you want to eventually happen, but you're repurposing that time and ultimately you feel a little bit more fulfilled each day.
We say we have 26,000 days to live on average,
right?
And we've all lived some certain amount of it already, varying per person. So you know, we ask people to figure out, like, how many days do you have left in this 26,000? And are you living today towards, like, doing something, like, meaningful? Or are you not? And tomorrow, are you going to choose to make that day as great as it can be in that moment and the day after that? Or are you just going to choose to live in your comfort zone and continue to blame the world for being unfair?
Make the most of every moment. That's what I always say. Thank you so much for joining us here on 89.1 WEMU. Hein Lam, Matthew Hansen, the co-founders of Chill Pill. Where can people find that?
Chillpill.io actually is the website. That's where most all of our content is, and you can find us and we can do workshops and speeches and all sorts of things like that as well. But that's definitely the best place to find us.
Thanks for joining us on 89.1 WEMU's Art and Soul.
Thanks so much for having
us. Thanks for having us.